Today we're going to continue in our series, Discovering Your Destiny. How many say today, Pastor, I am ready to walk in the destiny that God has for my life? Anybody here ready to walk in the destiny that God has for your life? The rest of you, you just want to sleep through work? What's going on? I want to turn your neighbor and say, are you ready to walk in your destiny that God has for your life? As we go through the series, we're looking at Joseph's life and how did he go from being a dreamer to being a man who walked in the destiny that God had for him. Every person has a dream from God and a destiny that he wants you to fulfill. Let me say again, every person here, God has a dream and a destiny for your life that he wants you to fulfill. Joseph had a dream. His dream was that his family was going to bow down to him. But that was not his destiny. His destiny was to save a nation from starvation during a time of famine. But he didn't realize that at the time. He just had this dream that he was going to be ruler over his family, and they were going to bow to him. And so today, many times we find out that many times that God uses our dreams to get us to our destiny. And that ultimately his destiny was not for his family to bow down, but his destiny was to save a nation. Ultimately, it comes down to this, that God's dream for our life, many times we have dreams that we want to see fulfilled in our life, that it is ultimately to get us to a place that we can save a nation. That God, his destiny for our life, for all of us here, is that he wants us to save people, to save people. So how do we go from getting our dreams that are God-giving to fulfilling the destiny that God has for our life? The problem is that many times, to fulfill our destiny, that we just don't have the character to sustain it. That we have the dream, but we don't have the character to sustain the destiny that God has for our life. So what happens is this, that God has to take us through many obstacles, through many growing pains, through things in our life to teach us, to prepare us, to have the character to sustain us during the time of our destiny. If we stepped out into our destiny right away, that many times we do not have the character to sustain that. So God has to take us and break us and mold us and shape us in our character so we can sustain the destiny he has for our life. We talked about the last 2 weeks, the pride test, and how Joseph was a man who had a lot of pride in his life. And as he shouted out his dream and told his brothers and his family, you're going to bow down to me. This is the dream God has given me. Oh, to be 17, right? How many remember being 17 years old? But he had a dream from God, and he told all his older brothers that you guys are going to bow down to me. He had a good dream, not a lot of common sense, but a good dream. And God had to take him into the pit. And last week we talked about lessons learned from the pit. Today I want to talk to you about lessons from the palace. Lessons from the palace. You see, Joseph was a man who went places and got favor with the Lord. Let's pick it back up in Genesis 39 today, the story. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 and then close with verse 23 in this story. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Look what it says here. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw, look what it says, the master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord had made all that he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him, this is talking about Potiphar, made Joseph an overseer of his house, and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had been made him overseer of his house and all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Isn't that amazing? God blesses Potiphar's house all because Joseph had favor with the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That's a good fact there. We're going to get back to that in just a little bit. Look what it says here. And then the Lord was all that he had upon the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he had ate. And look what it says. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Why does the Lord, why does Scripture take time to say that he was handsome? I think it's setting up for the rest of the story, which we're not going to get into today, but talks about how Potiphar's wife came on to him. Remember, she went on to him, made a sexual advance with him, and he ran away from him. And he ended up leaving his cloak behind. Remember, and she said, "Hey, Potiphar, Joseph tried to rape me. He tried to seduce me." And so Joseph gets thrown in prison. And look what happens when he's in prison. The keeper, verse 23 says, "The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority." So Joseph, everything he was overseeing, even in the prison, he gets exalted. Everything he did, it says that the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. How many, that's a good employer right there. But he look at you and say, "All right, Joe's got this. I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to go over here and concert with somebody else I have to worry about. But I know if Joe's overseeing this, it's going to be done right." Because the Lord was what? Because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to what? Prosper. So whether he's in the palace, whether he's in the prison, we see where everything he does, he prospers. When he's in Potiphar's house, he prospers. When he's in the prison, he prospers. There's something about Joseph's life that he had the favor of the Lord. No matter what job he was given, whether it was in the dungeon, whether it was in the prison, or whether it was in overseeing other slaves, or overseeing other people, everything he did, he was exalted and found the favor of the Lord. How many would like to have God's favor in your life? Duh. We would all want. We all want to prosper according to Scripture. So today I'm going to give you four keys that prepares you and says, how can I be successful? How can I prosper according to Scripture? We're going to look at it today. I'm going to tell you how you can prosper. You can have the favor of the Lord. No matter where you're at, what job you're working, where you live, what you're going through, you can have God's favor on your life. We're going to look at it today. Let's look at Scripture. The first key is this. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. Now today, we've heard this hyper-teaching on prosperity. And if we're not careful as a church, we can become very immune to that word prospering. Because we've heard so many people abuse it. Raising money for this, raising money for that, and all this prosperity teaching. I mean, I just tell you, can I just be honest today? Is that all right if I be honest? I just can't hardly watch a lot of Christian television because of all the prosperity teaching. It just drives me crazy because they're always trying to raise money. I know to some extent they got to raise money to keep the station going. I understand that. But man, sometimes you just get to the point where you think, man, this is every channel I go to, they're just talking about prospering, 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 prospering. And it's all about the hyper-prospering, how God wants you to drive the next biggest bus and planes and trains and automobiles and all these things. And it has nothing to do with Scripture. And they're taking Scripture out of context and hyper, you know, getting this hyped up so that we want to give. And so we see this abuse going on. It can very easily make us want to pull back when we hear the word prospering. But let me say this to you very loud and clear. God wants you to prosper. God wants to prosper your hand. God wants to prosper your family. God wants to prosper everything you do today. God wants to prosper you in everything that you do. The fact is that God still wants to prosper you in your family, in your job, in your finances, in your marriage. He wants to prosper you. The word prosperity in the Hebrew, which is what we find it being used here, means to push forward. It means to be pushed forward. It was used 63 times in the Old Testament. And it's the word, we get to the word that they push forward. We see the same example used one time when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson to defeat his enemies. It was that same thing. The Spirit of the Lord came forward and pushed him forward into victory in his life. As I was thinking about this in my life, I was thinking about how does this look in our life that God wants to push us forward? And I was thinking about a drill we do in football. And I was thinking about the Oklahoma drill. Do I have some guys here who could help me out? Where's Cody at? Come here, Cody. Where's Dusty? Dusty, you got here? A couple guys from the Southern football team. Dusty just graduated, now he's coaching. Cody's playing defensive line. A couple little weaklings here. Come here, guys.
There we go. But can you talk like this? That's the question.
Now, I'm coaching a little league football in Webb City, and I have my son's team. Come here, Landon. Come help me out, Landon. Where's Landon at? Come here, Landon. He's going to be in sixth grade this year.
Woo!
He's so cute. Look at that. His dad would never do anything to embarrass him, would he? No. We do something in football that we call the Oklahoma Drill. You guys familiar with the Oklahoma Drill, right? Okay. Anybody who's played football for a very long time, they've heard of the word Oklahoma Drill. And what happens is you have two sets of, you have an offense and defense. So for today, we're going to step on the defense side. So if you guys would give me a three-point stance down here at the line. Landon, I want you to come back and play linebacker. You still remember how the three-point stance? Let's do it facing them. That way they can see what I'm talking about. There you go, facing them. Now make sure you have a good splits, guys. Come on. I want to make sure we're teaching you a little bit of Southern how to play. All right. Got your good splits. You guys get down three-point stance. And what happens is this, that we have the same thing happening on the opposite side. We'd have a running back on the opposite side. He would be running, and the coach would tell him, all right, you're going to run this side right here. And as he would run that side, we're teaching the linebackers how to penetrate and hit the hole. But when you're teaching third, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders how to do this, many times this is what happens. They say hut and goal, and they just stand here with deer in headlights. I'm like, what? What do I do? And we're like, you got to hit the hole. You just follow the ball carry, and you hit the hole, lower your hips, and come through. Explode right through it. Again, you know. Okay. One more week, we're out there, boys. All right, it's going to be fun. How many are ready for football? Are you ready for? Okay, you're getting there. All right, make sure. Taking that. So this is what happens, is that many times at this age, we're trying to teach them how to do this. And they got helmets on. They got shoulder pads on. They got thigh pads. They got knee pads. They are ready to do combat, and they're not really going to get hurt. But they don't know that this age, and so they sit around. And so many times what has to happen is this, as we're teaching them how to hit the hole, as their ball carrier is coming this way, we'll say go, and we'll grab the kid by the back of the shoulder pads, and we'll take him down the line, and we see the hole, and we say go, and we'll push them as hard as we can right into the hole. So they have to stick their helmet in there, and they make the tackle, and they get up and go, wow, that was awesome. Let's do it again. And so they get a taste of the action. And they really like it. Then they get to where you don't have to push them anymore. They're already hitting the hole and ready to go. Thanks, guys. Give them a hand clap. Appreciate it. So this is the question here. That prospering in the Lord is simply this here. That God many times comes along beside us. And he takes us and he has to give us a good shove to get us to where he wants us to go. Now, how many know that's a good thing? How many would love to have the Lord come along beside you tomorrow and say, let me tell you what I want you to do. You're going to prosper today. I'm going to give you a little push. I'm going to help you out. That's the good thing. We want to prosper from the Lord. We want God to give us a push. We want God to give us that instruction that we need, that guidance that we need. It's a good thing. That tomorrow on your job, that God would come to you and say, I'm going to help you. Boom, give you a little push. Come on, I can help you be a better father, a better mother. Boom, give you a little push. It's God wants to prosper you in all that you do, and it comes through the presence of the Lord. Simply this, that when you are in the presence of the Lord will push you, it will guide you, it will help you hit the right hole. It will tell you, all right, you've been sitting still long enough, let's go, let's get the moving. Well, you can do this. I can do it, God. Yes, you can. I can't. Yes, Hut, go, and you push them through there. You teach them. Got to give them a little push. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us when we allow the prosper in the Lord. Well, Pastor, I just don't know if prosperity is really what God wants in my life. I really don't know this. Let's look at a few scriptures. Genesis 26, 12 and 13. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man began to what? Prosper. And in case you didn't get it, it says that not only did he prosper, but he continued prospering. And just in case that wasn't enough, he wants to prove a point until he became what? Very prosperous, okay? This is kind of a cool sentence here. He was the man who prospered. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Deuteronomy 29:9. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them that you want may prosper in all that you do. 2 Kings 18:7. The Lord was with him, and he what? Prospered wherever he went. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Even Potiphar recognized God was with Joseph. So this is the question I have for you today. Does your employer recognize that God's with you? Woo! I heard, didn't it, right there. Does your coworkers, does your employer, does your employees know that God is with you? That the presence of God is with you? I'm telling you, when you're walking in the ways of the Lord, people look at you different at work because you have a different work ethic. You have a different integrity about you. You have a different speech about you. You have a different work ethic about you. Do the people know that it is the Lord's hand that prospers you? I can tell you that I remember in college I was working as a manager over a sporting goods store here in the local area. And as I was working the store was about ready to close the stores. And I took it over. And when I took it over, every month we had a game. We had records. We want to beat last year's game. And every month, we had the whole time I managed that store, we never once had a month where we were in the negative. We were always in the positive of what we had done in the past. Now, yes, there were some management skills that went along with that. But more so than that, the owner wanted to know. He sat down and said, "What is it that is different about the way you're doing the store?" And I simply looked at him in the eyes and said, "I'm going to tell you what the difference is in the store. It's that God is going to prosper whatever I put my hand to do." I said, "The favor of the Lord's upon me because I honor him. And no matter what I do in my life, God is going to prosper what I do." And so this store began to grow, and it grew, and he built a brand new big store. And then I left to go in full-time ministry, and he brought in another great manager, and the store didn't last a long time. Why was that? What's the difference? It wasn't that that manager was any better than, I was better than the manager. We both had similar skills. He was a great person, great people management skills. He was a good leader. But the Lord was with me. The Lord was prospering what I did. There was something different about that. And they knew that God's presence was with me. So if the key to prospering is the presence of the Lord, let's answer the next question. What's the key to the presence of the Lord then? The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. Obedience. 2 Chronicles 17:33. Look what it says. "Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals." Baals was considered the idols of that day, following after what the Baals, the man-made idols. So Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the ways of his father David, whose was the ways of his father David? God. Because he walked in the ways of God, he did not fall to the man-made idols. God was with him. He prospered in what he did. 1 Samuel 18, verses 12 and 14. "Now Saul was afraid of David." He's talking about King Saul. "King Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was" what? "With him. But it had departed from Saul, and David behaved." Let's just stop right there. You want God's favor in your life? Learn how to behave. That's a good one right there. Okay, young people, this is a good verse. Write that down. I've got to learn how to behave. Okay. "And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." David had favor of God. Why? Because he obeyed God. Was David perfect? No, he wasn't. We've seen where he failed miserably in his life at different times in his life. But David was always quick to repent. Saul turned away from God, and God pulled his favor away from Saul. This is what happened. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he had departed Saul. God had departed Saul because Saul quit obeying the Lord. David obeyed, had favor. Saul disobeyed, lost favor. Deuteronomy 11:26, look what it says. "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God." Now, let me make it very clear today. I do not want to confuse anyone. We are saved 100% by grace. The minute you try to earn your salvation, you fail. The minute I try to be good enough and I try to be obedient enough to earn my salvation, we all fail. We all fall short of God's glory. But we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about a blessing. And even though I am saved 100% by grace, the blessing comes through my obedience to the Lord. The blessing, the presence of God being with me and having favor with the Lord comes with my heart of obedience. We are not saved by our works. That comes only 100% through grace, but we can prosper through our obedience to the Scripture. Simply put, those who obey the Scriptures of the Lord, they walk in obedience, they walk in a new prosperity. I believe in God's grace 100%, but I believe in obedience is what we walk in to get the blessing. See, when you walk with God, this is the difference. Raindrops are falling. How many wanted the rain right here today? Okay. I walked in with this umbrella and somebody said, Pastor, you got a lot of faith, don't you? We're praying, let it rain. We should do some rain songs to someone. Let it rain. Let it rain, let it rain. See, when we walk in obedience, this is what we look like. Because when we're walking around today, we walk around and, man, there's a hailstorm going on. There's a rainstorm going around us. But when you walk in obedience, you walk under the covering of the Lord. And so that when you walk in obedience, you walk through life like this. You walk under His umbrella. You're covering. No matter what you do, you stay prosperous. No matter what the economy does, God will prosper you. No matter what happens around you, God will see you through. God will bless your life. He will protect you, and He will give you favor. I mean, if you walked around and saw somebody walking around and it rained everywhere else except where that person was at, you would say, all right, there's something special about that person. I mean, everywhere else that's around them, it's raining, but that one spot. And when they travel, they don't get wet. Why is that? You would say there's something special about them. Well, today, this is the way it looks like. When we walk in obedience to the Lord, we walk under His umbrella protection. We walk under His favor. I don't know about you, but I've walked like this way too much in my life. I spend way too much of my time walking like this, getting soaking wet from life's trials, man, my own stupid mistakes, my own pride, my own things I've done on my own to get me to the place where I'm like, man, I am tired of being beaten down. I like it much better in the shade. You know, yesterday we were out at the ballpark where our daughter had a game, and my wife pulled out this umbrella, and we stayed in the shade, and it was just so much nicer. Like, boy, I like this umbrella. I didn't care how old I felt this end, but I didn't care. I just felt good. I like this umbrella. There's something about being protected. You know, this is the way I want to live my life. I want to walk under God's prosperity for my life. I want to walk under His protection for my life. And this comes through walking in obedience. Who wants to walk in obedience today? Anybody here? We learn to walk in obedience. So if the key to prospering is God's presence, and the key to His presence is obedience, so what's the key to obedience? Let's answer that question. I'm ahead of you. Number three, the key to obedience is faith. It's faith today. The farmer plants because he believes he will receive a harvest in faith. When he shoves those seeds into the ground, by faith he believes he's going to get water on those seeds, he's going to get the nutrients he needs in the soil, and those things are going to produce a harvest. But the problem is this, that many of us have more faith in our hot water heater than we do in God. Isn't that true? Come on. Many of us have more faith in our hot water heater than we do in God. How many of you go to get hot water, you've washed your hands, or you're trying to wash this or something, and you turn the hot water on, and you stick your hand underneath there, and what happens? What comes out? Cold water. What are you talking about? Some of you have better hot water than I do, but it takes a while for my hot water to catch up when I first turn on the water. It takes a while for that hot water to siphon out of the hot water tank and make its way through the pipes and get to where I'm at. But just because it's cold doesn't mean I don't believe it's not going to turn hot. I always believe that water is going to turn hot when I turn on the hot water. Even though I put my hand underneath there first and it feels cold, I believe in my heart that just a matter of time it's going to turn hot. You see, this is where faith comes in our life, that we obey God. And even though when I first obey God, I still may feel cold. I may not feel any different. I may not feel any more prosperous than I am right now when I first start obeying God. When we have faith that God, when I walk in your commands, God, when I walk under your umbrella, God, when I walk in your favor, God, when I walk putting you first, when I walk and obey you in obedience, and I put my faith in you, God, I know that all things are going to work together for good. God, I know in my heart that all things are going to work. And God, whatever I put my hand to God, you're going to prosper. God, when I obey you and I put you first in my life, I know that you're going to work all things together for good in my life. is sticking in there with faith. Faith is the key to obedience. I not only obey, but I believe that God's going to work it out. And quickly today, we know this, that obedience comes. We may walk in obedience and it feels cold at first, but we got to wait and know that, stick it out, it shall turn hot. I will work hard when I get a better job. Isn't that what we say? Well, Pastor, I'll do better. I'll work hard when I get a better job. The job I have right now, it just stinks. My boss stinks. The people around me, they stink. Man, it's just horrible, horrible job. And when I get a better job, I promise I'm gonna do better. I'm going to work harder. God's going to give me my favor when I get a different job. And I say, no, you won't. It's not going to happen. Because God will reward you according to your obedience right now. Let's look at Scripture, Colossians 3:23. Look what it says. Work willingly at whatever you do, as what? Though you are working for the Lord. Wow, as a Christian, this is what I'm called to do. I'm called to work as though I'm working for the Lord rather than people. Now listen, I've worked for some very honoring people in my life. I've worked for some people who were very discriminating, people who were very much did not know what they were doing, people who were very hard to work for. So I can understand when it comes to working for hard people, okay? We've all walked that road, and some of you are walking it right now. But I would tell you this, when you work your job, you don't say, I'm working for my boss. You say, I am working for my boss, but my boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, even though I don't enjoy this job right now, I'm going to work it to the best of my ability. God, I'm going to serve this job like I'm serving you because I want people to see that I have a different attitude. I want people to see that I have the favor of God upon my life and that the presence of God changes things in my life. And when my boss looks at me, he should say, I'm the best worker they have. When your boss looks at you, he said, they're the most punctual, they're the hardest worker that I know. If all Christians act like you, this place will be changed. Oh, come on, you know I'm getting right there today where we live. We got to be faithful. And if you want to be faithful in a different job, be faithful in the job you have now. Walk obedience to the Lord. God, I'm walking this since I close today. The fourth key. What's the key to obedience? It's faith, right? And what's the key to faith? Simply this. The key to faith is hearing the word of the Lord. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So how do we get faith? How do we get faith today? By what? Hearing what? The word of the Lord. So why is it that we only want to hear the word of the Lord on Sunday mornings? If I want to build faith in my life so I can walk in obedience, so I can have more of God's presence in my life, so I can walk and people say, you know what, that person's walking in prosperity. This person's walking under a different umbrella. Wow, there's something different about them. This all starts right here, that I've got to learn what it means to put the word of God in my life. I don't need to hear it just on Sunday morning. I need to read it tomorrow. I need to hear it tomorrow. I need to listen to other teaching when I can. I need to don't just read all kinds of books. Read the Bible. Listen, I'm for Christian books, and there's a lot of great Christian devotion books out there. But there's nothing that substitutes for hearing the word of God pure in my life. Open up the scripture. Well, Pastor, I just don't have time. Put it somewhere where you have time, okay? Put it somewhere where you're going to sit down and have a cup of coffee. Put it somewhere where you're going to be spending a little time. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. But put it somewhere. Put the word of God somewhere. I'm not talking about spending hours a day. I'm talking about every day I'm committed to God. I'm going to put a verse in my heart today. God, I'm going to put one verse. I mean, how much would we change if we would just put one verse a day in our heart? Can you imagine the difference that would happen at the end of the year that we had 365 verses we've hid away in our heart? Wow. Just taking one verse a day. God, I want to put that word, hide it in my heart. Because faith comes from what? Hearing the word. Why is it important that I hear the word? Because the word has the power to change my life. Do you want your life to change? Get more of the word. So I can prosper if I hear, if I believe, and I obey. I hear the word of the Lord. I see the word of the Lord. I read the word of the Lord. I hear it. I believe it. Put faith into action, and I'll obey it. And what happens? People look at you and say, you know what? There goes a person who's walking under the favor of the Lord. Lessons we can learn from the palace. Lessons we can learn that Joseph had the favor of God on him no matter what he did, because he did things unto the Lord. In closing today, musicians are coming. Teenagers, I want to say this to you real fast. Get this in your life, man. Many of you are going to be starting jobs or already started jobs. Get this in your life that if I will be the best employer I can be, if I can work when everybody else is texting at work, when everybody else is goofing off, having a fight, you know what I'm talking about, in the break room. When you do your job, not only what you're asked to do, but you do what you know you're supposed to do, they'll look at you and they'll promote you in a way that nobody else would promote it for people your age. It happens time and time again. I see. Listen, this is something we can apply. This isn't just for mom and dad. It's for you in your life right now. When you work your job, say, God, I'm going to work my job according to as I'm working for you. We do our things according to our boss, our Lord and Savior. It changed the way we outlook things, wouldn't it? It changed my outlook. It would change my joy. Because some people you work for, people are hard to work for. And you don't get any joy for doing good things for those kind of people, do you? But when you realize those people don't have the power to bless my life, God has the power to bless my life. And God, I get enjoyment out of doing things right because I'm doing it for you. No matter if I get a pat on the back from my boss ever, it doesn't make a difference. God, I know you're looking at me and you're saying there's a new favor coming upon their life because of the way they're working, the things they do. They're hearing the word of the Lord. They're being obedient to the word of the Lord. They're walking in a new favor. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. As we close today, it's a question we like to ask. Almost every week here we ask this question, and almost every week we have people respond to this question. Simple question that comes down to, where are we at right now in your life? Today, maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I'm ready today to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. You're talking about obeying Him and living for Him. Today, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right now. I will not do anything to embarrass you at all. No one's looking around but me. I want to ask you this question. Are you here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready today. I'm ready today. Can you just raise your hands where you're at? No one's looking but me. I want to see you. Can you raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else who want to raise your hand today and say, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior today. Thank you. Appreciate the hand in the back. Anybody else today wants to join these people today? Say, I'm ready to make a life-changing decision to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else here today, you're ready to make that decision to follow after Christ? We're going to say this prayer, and today we're all going to say it together. We're going to say it out loud, especially those who raised your hands. I want you to say it today and mean it from your heart. We're going to say this prayer together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart today. I give you everything I am. I give to you. I accept your forgiveness. And today, I will live for you. In Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer and you meant it today. We say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah. New start. Now listen, this is just the beginning of a new journey. This is not the ending. It's a new journey that you're starting. And today, before you leave, stop by our information booth back here in the back. We have a special packet in the back. It gives you a free Bible, some information, the next steps you need to do. If you don't have a home church, you need to be involved in a home church. We'd love to have you here. And we want to just surround you with people who are willing to love on you and just support you and encourage you, because you can't do it on your own, okay? It's impossible. You can't do it on your own. You need people around you who will support you. Today, I want to invite you to stand on your feet. How many today say, today, Pastor, I'm ready today to walk under a new favor that God has for my life? Anybody here want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, you convicted me a little bit. The Holy Spirit convicted me a little bit about how I approach my job, about how I'm approaching my life. Yeah, we can all fall under that, can't we? Yes. It's okay. We can admit to each other. We don't have it all figured out. We're not all perfect here. It's okay. But how many today say, Pastor, I'm ready today to say, God, what you ask me to do, I'm going to do. I want to learn to put my faith into action, even on my job. I want to learn to hear your word like never before. I want to learn to obey your word in a new way because I want to walk in a new prosperity in the things that I do. Help me declaring today that you're going to make a new effort, a new promise to the Lord. Raise your hand. That's you today. Say, I'm ready to make that promise to the Lord. Great. We're going to close out with this song. As we sing this song today, I want you to make it the prayer of your heart and say, God, whatever you ask me to do, I say yes. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. Come on, let's sing it to the Lord.
What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Jesus only did what he saw you do. He would only say what he heard you speak. He would only move when he felt you leave. Following your heart, following your spirit. How could I expect to walk without you? When every move that Jesus made was meant surrender, how could I expect to walk without you? For you alone are worthy, you are always good.
Come on, tell them one more time today. How many minutes your prayer today? How many minutes your prayers? Father, today, Lord, I'm going to walk in your obedience in a new and fresh way in my life. I'm going to walk under the umbrella. I'm going to walk with a new favor. I want people to look at me and say, that person, not because of anything they say on their own, not because of any self-bragging, not because of them shooting off about their dream, but simply because they walk with a different work ethic, because they walk with a different integrity, because they walk with a different faith. And people look at them and say, there walks a man, a woman, a young man, a young woman who's walking in the favor of the Lord. Jesus. They're prospering. Today, that will happen. That will happen when we walk in obedience of hearing the word of the Lord and applying it to our life. Justin's going to come this morning. He's going to pray a prayer of closing over us today. Thank you so much for being here. Man, what a great crowd here in the middle of July. So excited about what God's doing here at Destiny and your family and your life today. We say God bless you. Justin closes out in a word of prayer.
God, we thank you for all that we've heard, God. Oh, we thank you, God, that you have a way for us to prosper, God, to achieve our destinies in you, God. Lord, we pray, God, that we will internalize what we've heard from you this morning, God. Lord, that as we go about our lives, God, we will walk about, God, Lord, in obedience, God, in faith, God. Lord, in constantly hearing your word, God, being soaked into your word, God, every day. Lord, we pray, God, that your destiny, God, for this church and for this area, God, and for this nation, God, would be accomplished, God, through us, God, your people, God. Lord, we'll continue to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.